Three days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away. And I die, hallelujah, by and by.
Psalms chapter 19, there's a few verses there. The Bible says in verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their word to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom cometh out of his chambers and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the ends of the earth, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. I want to preach this morning on the voice of God. You know, God has several ways that he speaks to man. Even though man is sinners and man has no desire to listen to God, but God still has a way that he speaks to people. I'm glad some years ago, back when I was a lost sinner, nothing but an old hell raiser, that God spoke to me one time and God gave me a message. And I want to tell you this morning, there are several ways that God speaks to people. And number one, the Bible says here in verse chapter 19, verse 1, that God speaks through creation. Most of the time when God reveals himself, he'll reveal himself through creation. And the Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth forth his handiwork. The wisdom and the power and the glory of God is revealed to everybody, everywhere this morning in creation. The Bible said day unto day utters speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. And the Bible said in verse 3, there's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. The voice that is talking about the voice of creation. And the Bible said there's no speech, no language, nowhere in the world where it's not heard. Folks say, well now, we send missionaries to foreign fields, and nothing wrong with that. I'm for that. But, you know, God speaks to man, whether a missionary ever goes there or not. God still speaks to the world, and he speaks mainly through his creation. I mean, even though we got today, you know, we got science, and we got great knowledge, you know, and all these things we mentioned, but the laws, they say, well, Mother Nature. Well, there's no such thing. Mother Nature is the laws that God put into effect in creation. God is the God of nature. The God of creation is the same God of nature. I mean, nature performs by the creation of God. And the reason men speak like this is because they don't want to accept the fact that God is saying something. When you see a hurricane coming, God's telling you something. They say, well, the low pressure systems and the atmosphere, they create these winds. Well, sure, that's the way the laws that God set up, but that's still the voice of God. That's the voice of God in creation. The Bible said in verse 3 that there's no language, no speech, no language. Nowhere where the voice is not heard. I mean, the world can hear God this morning simply by the creation they can see around them. And yet, you know, people say, well, I don't believe in God. The man told me one time, he said, I'm an atheist. I said, there's no such thing. An atheist is just a person that rejects the light that God gives him. There's really no such thing. The Bible said no speech nor language where the voice is not heard. And that's talking about the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth forth his handiwork. The Bible says all the world, their words at the end of the world. Notice there, it says a tabernacle. A tabernacle. That tabernacle is for his son, Jesus Christ. The Bible says there that Christ came in the world to be the Savior of the world. So in verse 3 and in verse 4 it says that God speaks a universal language to all nations through creation. Now I want to show you some more of this New Testament. I want you to take your Bible and turn to Romans. Romans chapter 1 just for a minute. The Bible is filled with this. There's various numbers of scriptures, Old and New Testament, we could deal with this. I want to deal with some that probably are the clearest of all. In Romans chapter 1, let's begin there at verse 18. Romans 1:18. The Bible says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." The Bible says there in verse 17, it says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." In verse 17, it says, "The righteousness of God revealed." It says in verse 18, "The wrath of God is revealed." It says in verse 19 that God has showed it to them through creation. So look there in verse 19. The Bible says, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them." God, that is the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God is revealed to the world in creation. And you'll see that over there in verse 15, chapter 2, verse 15 of Romans. The Bible talks there, it says, "Which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another." And the mere fact that man can look at another man and say what's wrong about him, and he can see something wrong. Have you ever noticed today that how people can look out and say, "Boy, he sure does do something bad. He shouldn't do that." You know what that is? That's God showing that man he knows what's right and wrong. And man knows the voice of God through creation. Man knows right and wrong because he's God conscious. And man still sits back and wants to put God out of everything. The whole motive of the day in this nation we live, in the government, in the society, and in a lot of religion is to get God out of everything. And that's primarily what the book of Romans is about. The first chapter here tells about Gentile apostate, how they left the word of God. Look there in verse 20. It says, "For the invisible things," that's the things you can't see, "of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen." It says the from the creation, the things you can't see, the Bible said they're clearly seen. They're clearly seen. How are they seen? It says, "Being understood by the things that are made." And so the Bible gives us a lot of times similitudes. One time there was somebody come to Jesus and they said, "You talk about hell. What's hell like?" He said, "You ever go down to the city dump?" They said, "Yeah." He said, "That's what's hell like. That's where all the garbage and all the waste, everything goes and burns. And that's where unsaved people go. Unsaved people go to hell. They're no good. They waste. They got nothing. And so they go to hell." And the Bible's filled with similitudes. The Bible said over in 2 Peter chapter 2, it said, "Why, an unsaved woman's like a hog." That's not too nice to call people hogs, is it? But that's what the Bible says. The Bible says an unsaved man like a dog. It's talking about character, nature. You want to see how unsaved people live? Watch dogs and hogs. See, that's what it's saying. That's not good preaching, David. That's what the Bible says. That's a similitude, you know, that people don't accept. And so the Bible says that man without excuse, because God revealed himself in creation. And John chapter 1 verse 9, the Bible said Jesus was the true light that cometh in the world and lighteth the heart of every man. Every man has the light of God when he comes in the world, if nothing else, through creation. And man rejects God. Man rejects God through creation. Man don't believe it. The reason this world this morning, this nation we live in, is so dark is because people, they've rejected the light. I mean, if you're in the dark, somebody shines the light, and you turn the light out, you're still in the dark. And so people this morning, they don't want the light. They turn the light out so they walk in darkness. That's why that's evident today, especially in this country, because nobody sees nothing wrong. I mean, the matter of fact, today, you know, I've said this thing so many times. If a person gets in the Bible and he starts seeing the things that God has, he'll start getting negative about sin. He's in the light. He'll see some things that are right. He'll see some things that are wrong, and he'll say so. And today, people don't see nothing wrong with nothing. I've never seen the likes of it. People say, well, now, I don't see nothing wrong with that. I talked to some folks one time about this disease, this new disease come to age, you know. Age is not a thing in the world, but judgment on this bunch of queers. And God's brought judgment on it. And people say, well, what about the innocent? A woman told me that. She said, what about these little innocent children that are born? I said, well, what about it? Well, you think they ought to have to suffer? I said, they won't. I said, if a child is born through a mother that's been exposed to this A disease, and that child comes up and it doesn't reach the knowledge of accountability, it'll go to heaven. And if it does, it'll get a chance to be saved, to trust Jesus Christ, or not trust Jesus Christ. The folks, I'm going to tell you, sin don't make nobody innocent no way. You know that, don't you? I mean, you wasn't innocent when God saved you. You was guilty as hell. That's where you was going. I mean, sin don't make nobody innocent. And we're living in a time today when sin has been stamped. And you take right now, when that thing first come out, we had a few people that backed off in the corner and said, I don't want that stuff around me, but I heard this the other day on the radio, and I read this in the newspaper where they're saying now they're going to accept that you can't discriminate against anybody that's got AIDS. See, it doesn't take long to accept sin now. It used to take a few months. Now it takes a few days. And anything that comes up that's wrong, it takes a few days, and our society just accepts it and takes it in. You know why? They're in the dark. They ain't seen the light. I mean, when a man gets in the light of this Bible, he won't put his approval on sin. He won't accept sin. He won't agree with sin. He'll turn against it. He'll say something about it. And if he can, he'll do something about it. But I'm telling you something, we're living in a time today when people are in dark. They've rejected the light that God has given them. They took this Bible. They took the King James Bible. And they said, I don't like that word. I'm going to get me a Bible that don't have that word in it. Amen? So that's what they do. That's what they do. So I said, nah, you know, we believe just like you, preacher. We believe, no, you don't either. No. Let me tell you something. When a man don't believe the King James Bible is the Bible, he don't believe like me. I promise you that right now. Now they say, well, yeah, but you know, our church, we believe in the doctrine, the fundamentals of virgin birth. No, that ain't never been the problem. That ain't never been, never has been. Somebody said, oh, the old Bible, you know, and I'm getting off my text here a little bit, but it said the old Bible, you know, they got archaic word and live the best in English and Greek and Hebrew and all this stuff. That ain't the trouble. Never has been. I mean, when this Bible came out in 1611 and they met in 1880 to revise it, they didn't say what about the archaic words. They didn't say what about the Elizabeth and English. They didn't say Greek and Hebrew. You know what they said? I don't like that word. I don't like that word. Change that word. See? That's all it was. You heard our message last week while the devil showed up there in the Garden of Eden. He didn't say, well, you believe in the virgin birth? He didn't even mention that. He believes in the virgin birth. Somebody said, well, I believe in God. Well, so does the devil. The Bible said in James, the devil believes and trembles. Man said, well, I believe in God. Well, you're not saying nothing. The devil does too. So men have rejected the light of this Bible, what I'm trying to show you. Though the world has rejected God, God's word reveals that he is the God of creation, and man don't want God, so they don't want God's Bible. And that's where we are today. So the book of Romans, it says that man's without excuse. He's without excuse. Man has no excuse this morning not to have the knowledge of God. And over there in Hosea, they were something like ours. They were living in an apostate. They were turning away from God. And God told Hosea, he said, Hosea, I want you to write my people and tell them here's the trouble. And there was one of the troubles was, he said, no knowledge of God. And folks, that's where we are this morning. We live in a time where there's no knowledge of God. You know, people know about the Baptist and the Methodist and the Catholic, know about the religion, they know about the society, know about the movements and everything else. They know about the TV programs, they know about everything but God. So this morning, God reveals himself in his creation, nature, every day, preaches 1,000 messages to the hearts of men and women all over this world, the whole universe, that there's a God, that there's a God of creation. God created this thing. God put this thing all together. God sustains it. And God speaks to man every day. Give you a few illustrations. Every day, this morning, this day began with light. Amen? Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. A man's life begins with light. A man sees himself for the first time. I know years ago, back when I was pretty wild, And I thought, you know, well, I'm probably pretty good. Nothing wrong with me. The world messed up. I'll straighten them out in a little few more years. You know, that's what I thought. But you know something? I come to realize that I was the ones messed up. You know, when a man sees the light, he'll see himself. And the fact is that people can see everything wrong with everything, and very few people can find anything wrong with themselves, shows they rejected the light of God. Isaiah over there one time, he said, I looked up, and when King Uriah died, he said, I looked up and I saw the Lord. And you know what he saw after that? He said, then I saw me, and he said, boy, I was in bad shape. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips. See? Because he had a bad heart. Your mouth reveals what's in your heart. And he said, I looked up and I was a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in a people of unclean lips. Now, you know, I said, God, clean me. And a man sees God, he'll see how unclean he is. He'll see how wretched he is and how miserable he is without God. And the mere fact, you know, men get up and talk about themselves, and they brag about themselves, and they exalt man. They exalt the glory of man and what man does. That's a sign they rejected the light of God. I believe when a sinner sees himself going to hell, and God saying he won't brag about himself, he'll brag about the one that saved him. I told just a young man just the other day, he's going to a church, and I said, I'm gonna tell you two things that you need to do. Number one, you go in that church, you lift Jesus higher than anything else, and you lift the Word of God up being the only thing that's right. Well, I'll tell you something, we're living in a time when men have rejected the light. Man walks in darkness, and man walks in this world, and man lives without God in his life, and man doesn't know the knowledge of God, and the understanding of God, and the power of God, and the presence of God, and the joy of God, and the presence of God. Man doesn't have the assurance of God. But each year we have seasons. We have a spring. Now spring, you've seen spring, haven't you? That when the things start to get green, that shows new life. That reveals a resurrection. I told you here a while back, a man ever plants a garden, God will show him as a resurrection. You put a dead seed in the ground, it come up a live plant. Amen? I meant, you go to winter, things die out. Things get green, and they die out. That pictures man's life. I mean, let me show you something. Let's take our Bible, let's turn to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 4, let me show you a picture of this. Isaiah chapter 40, God said over there, he told Isaiah, he says, look at verse 6, Isaiah 40, verse 6. The Bible said, the voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? God told Isaiah, so I want you to go to my people, and I want you to tell them something. He said, what are we going to tell them? And here's what God said. All flesh is as grass. And that's some way to talk about people. Well, you went up some of one of our big presidents or congressmen or senators. Hello, grass. What do you think he think of you? But the Bible says, all flesh is as grass, and all the goodness thereof is as the flower of the field. And what he's saying here is, all flesh. See, flesh is flesh. Jesus says so in John chapter 3. He said, that which is flesh. And the Bible said, all flesh is grass. Now you've seen the grass in the spring, it comes up and it turns green. Looks good, doesn't it? I mean, man comes in this world, he grows up, becomes successful, if you want to call it that, and looks good, doesn't it? And pretty soon there's sad music because he's dead. Amen? I mean, your lawn looks good today, but boy, when the first frost hits it, what does it look like? See? So you see, if you didn't know none of that, that reveals God to you. See? God is showing you something in that. Just by looking around at everything you see every day, you can see God telling you something. People today act like they're going to live forever. You see the sun come up this morning, you may see it go down today. You know what that's telling you one day the sun will come up, and when it goes down, you won't be here. Huh? I mean, God's telling you something every day. You say, yeah, but I'm young. I got a nephew 9 years old. He's young too. I went to his funeral. I went to the graveyard there at my mother's funeral. I walked across that graveyard there. I must have went across a half a mile of graves. And there's as many young ones as there was old ones. God's telling you something. The Bible said in Isaiah 40, verse 7, the Bible said, the grass withereth, the flower faded away. Did you ever see a flower? I mean, it looks so pretty, smells so good. Give it 4 or 5 days and what does it look like? Why, it turns brown, just falls off like nothing, right? Well, that's a man's life, see? God's showing you your life, you know. I mean, isn't life grand? Isn't life grand, you know? I mean, here you are going down the road just happy as you can be and everything going fine. You blow a tire and you have a wreck and kill 4 or 5 people, blood and guts all over the place. Isn't life grand? God's trying to tell you something. Amen? Bible said in verse 8, the grass withereth. And it does. The flower fadeth away. And it does. But look at that next verse. But the word of our God shall stand forever. What God says will never wither. It'll never fade away. It'll never change. It'll stand forever. So the message here is what God's trying to do is to point a man through creation, to point a man to the Word of God, to point a man to God, because without God, there's no hope. I don't care what you got, what you know, who you are, where you live. Without God, there's no hope. And God every day in creation tells the world that He's the God, He's the Creator, and He's the only hope that mankind has got. And man sits back and still rejects the voice of God. You see every day in my home, your home, in the world, this nation, you see folks take out the garbage every day, and the garbage took out here and thrown in the trash and is carried off to a big pile and it's burned, it's no good, it's wasted, it's worthless. And that's unsaved people as they leave this world without Christ. Worthless, gone forever in the fires of hell without their Savior. And yet people today don't want to hear the Word of God. They don't want to hear the voice of God. Men, unsaved men all over this world, everywhere without God. And they don't want the voice of God. I remember years ago when I was coming along. That's a pretty good while back. But I remember especially like on Saturday. And back then didn't have the TV. And you was a little above average if you had a radio. We didn't have one that time. And I used to go to my aunt's house on Friday night to listen to the radio programs. But I remember Saturday morning, you turned that radio on, it wasn't 3 or 4 stations all you could get. And, you know, you wouldn't hear nothing on that radio but preaching. You turn it around, you'd hear preaching everywhere you went. I don't mean this junk either. I mean preaching. You didn't hear nobody talking in tongues and all this junk, healing junk they got there. And that's junk. That's all it is. You heard some men telling men and women how to get saved, preaching against sin, and telling men and women that Jesus Christ would save them. I mean, they had something to say. But today, you can't hardly find preaching. And, you know, you can't even get on the radio except Sunday. Unless you got a lot of money. Now, you can get on one of these so-called Christian stations. If you can afford it, I can't afford it. But you can't even hardly get on radio except Sunday. And if we were in a godly nation, if we was in a nation that was right with God, that walked in the light of God's Bible and believed God's Bible, they'd let Bible preachers on television for nothing. You can't afford television unless you're a millionaire. Ain't but 2 or 3 that American afford it. Falwell's one of them and 2 or 3 more of these fellas. I can't afford it. But you know why? People don't want to hear the voice of God. You know about the only people can afford a TV commercial on a football game? Are the beer people. I go to show you what kind of nation we got. Well, if we live in a nation where Christians love God and believe the Word of God, they say, we're going to contribute so much, we're going to get this tape, we're going to buy this thing, we're going to control this thing. When TV first come out, folks, the churches would have been right with God. They should have took it over and put the gospel on that thing, not this junk you see today. You turn on down, what do you hear? You hear the cussing that you hear down on your job? You see the scenes at one time, at 35 years ago in America, you see scenes on TV, they wouldn't allow you to sell in America unless you was undercover. You say, what do you think happened? I don't think what happened. I know what happened. We live in a nation that's rejected the voice of God. Turned away from the voice of God. Now this morning, I want to show you something else, how God speaks this morning in the Scriptures. The voice of God is is heard in creation, but the grace of God is revealed in the Scriptures, the Word of God. The Bible this morning is the perfect law of liberty. I mean, there's no errors in the Bible. There's no mistakes in the Bible. The Bible records the sin of man. The Bible records the lies of Satan. But the Bible records the grace and the truth of God. That's why it never changes. The Bible this morning is the true testimony of God. The Bible is the right statutes of and the true testimony of the living Word of the living God. And man don't want that thing. You can go into most churches this morning. I know some churches in this town. And if you were to go in there this morning, if I were to stand up and preach, half the people out of it couldn't follow me because they ain't got a Bible. I was in a church one time, and I was sitting somewhere along the third or fourth row back there, and I just started looking around. I counted four different versions of the Bible. Folks, we're living in a time when people don't want the voice of God. They don't want the light of God. The Bible this morning is the pure commandment of God. It's the living Word of the living God. It's the only truth there is. You take man writes these dirty, filthy, ungodly, wicked books. Man writes filthy and promotes filthy magazines and books and movies, and the world looks at it. God's Word is pure. God's Word is truth. God's Word is holy, and man will turn down the Word of God for something that man wrote. So what does that mean? It means we're living in a time when they don't want the voice of God. The Bible said in Psalms chapter 12, verse 6, the Bible said the words of the Lord are pure words as silver, tried in an earnest furnace of fire, purified seven times. You put silver in a fire, you know what happens? It comes out pure. Pure, pure. The Bible said the Word of God is like silver. It's been purified seven times. As much as you can purify it, it's pure. No, nothing mixed in. Nothing mixed in. There's no error, no flaws, no mistakes, no mistraining. Nothing's in the Word of God. The Word of God is pure. And men don't want anything pure today. They don't want anything pure. Let me read you a scripture over here in 1 Timothy. I just thought about and deal with that. I think it's first. Give me a minute to find this thing. I want to show you something here. Maybe 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. And listen to what this says. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And look at verse 14. 2 Timothy 3:14. The Bible says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child, listen to this folks, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. You know what Paul wrote here? He wrote to Timothy and he said, Timothy, you continue the things that your mother and your grandmother taught you when you was a child. And here's what they taught you. They taught you this, that the holy scriptures are able to make you wise under salvation. In other words, if a person gets in the scriptures, the Word of God, and God speaks to him, he'll realize, he'll come out knowing that the only way to be saved is through faith in Christ Jesus. And what do you got today? What do you got there? You got these crowds, you got churches, and they profess to be Bible-believing, soul-winning Christians, and they'll tell you, you got to get baptized to be saved. That ain't what the Bible says. You say, well, you're a Baptist. I believe in getting baptized. You ought to get baptized, but you ought to get baptized because you are saved. If you're saved, know you're saved, you need to get baptized. If you don't know you're saved, you can't scripturally baptize nobody. The Bible says I'll teach you that in the Holy Scriptures. Well, then why is it so many people say, well, now, preacher, I believe you gotta do this, you know. Oh, no, you gotta do this, you gotta do that. Well, that's not even what the Bible says. The Bible says that the Holy Scriptures will make you wise enough to know that salvation is only in Christ Jesus. And then we come to a point here, something else going on in this nation. We've got a problem among the nation that's called child abuse. And I know it happens. I know there are some parents that they tortured their children, all that, and I know all that. I'm not for somebody like one woman one time took her baby and put it in the oven. I think they ought to do something with her. She's got a problem. She's crazy. But I'm telling you this. You know what I think the greatest child neglect in America this morning is? Is mamas and daddies that won't teach their kids how to be saved. You raise up a kid or a boy or a girl and you send them to school, give them a good education, send them off to college and get them settled in this world and they're successful in this world, make a lot of money and have everything in this world and die and go to hell. You neglected them. So I said, you'd rather have yours ignorant. I'd rather have mine in heaven saying ain't than in hell quoting Greek and Hebrew. Amen. That's what we got there. It seems like we've come to the place where they think education about the only way you can do anything. I'm not against learning. I think you ought to learn all you can. But like I mentioned this morning, the only way you're going to really advance is in the Word of God. That's the only way you'll ever advance. What did Jesus said over there one time? He said, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? So you getting to come in this world and you're successful in this world. You have enough, make enough money to do everything you want to do and have everything you want to have and you die and go to hell. Did you profit anything? That's what Jesus said. So God is holy and God is righteous and God speaks to the world through creation and God speaks through His Word this morning. And the mere fact that people don't want the Bible shows they don't want to hear the voice of God. The Bible will turn you away from sin. Somebody said one time the Bible will keep you from sin or sin will keep you from the Bible. So God speaks this morning to the world. The voice of God speaks to creation and the voice of God speaks this morning in His Word. So we're living in a time when men reject God through creation. They explain it away through science. They reject God in the scriptures. They rewrite it and change it and deny it. Don't believe it. But the Bible will make a man wise. The Bible will make you wise. Let me show you something over there. Let me see. Give me a minute here. Isaiah somewhere. Let me find the verse and I'll show it to you. Let's see. These scriptures come to me. I can't remember. Yeah, Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8. Listen to verse 19. Isaiah 8:19. The Bible says, and when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that they have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep, and that utters, should not a people seek unto their God? For the living to the dead, listen to this, verse 20, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, is because there's no light in them. He said if they don't speak according to the Bible said if a man doesn't speak according to the word of God, it's because there's no light of God in him. The Bible is the book of wisdom. The Bible is the book of rejoicing. The Bible will make a man rejoice. And like I said years ago, I used to hobnob around the night spots and the nightclubs and the dives and the dens and the hog holes. And we used to think we was having a good time, you know, but I found out the only real joy there is in knowing God. I've been a lot happier in some of the camp meetings and churches than I ever was in some of the places I used to go. The Bible will make a man rejoice. Jesus said one time over there, He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. I had a little scripture I want to read on that. Let me find it. Jeremiah, just a minute. Jeremiah chapter 15. Let me read you something over there. Jeremiah chapter 15. And listen to what God said there. Jeremiah 15:15. O Lord, Thou knowest, remember me and visit me and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in Thy long suffering. Know that for Thy sake I have suffered rebuke. Jeremiah said, Lord, you know I've went out here and done what you said and I've suffered bad for it. And then listen to what he says in verse 16. thy words were found, and I did eat them. He said, I found your words. I had them and I eat them. Now, eating something you take in. You take it in. You take the Bible. You go to a good meal. You sit down at the table and you look at all the good food. It looks good, but you don't really enjoy it till you get it in, right? Am I right? I mean, it'd be kind of foolish to sit down to a big old steak dinner and all the potatoes and biscuits and all this and sit there and look at it, wouldn't it? Well, that's where a lot of folks are. They go in churches and they sit there and look at one another, don't take nothing in. See? I mean, it's good when you take it in. And that's what Jeremiah said. He said, the words were found and I did eat them, and thy words were unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. He said, I took your words in. He said, I found them and I took them in. And he said, that brought joy and rejoicing to my heart, because those words that I took in identified me to be called by your name. And the word we would call today would be Christian, which is one of the most misused words in the English language. Since I've been saved, I've met thousands upon thousands of people in churches. I've met very few Christians. You can be a church member, you can be a good church member, you can even be saved, but it takes the Word of God to build a Christian. You find Christian first time in the Bible on Acts chapter 11, verse 26. And the Bible says, for 2 years there, Paul and Silas stayed and taught them the Word of God. And after 2 years of teaching the Word of God, they were called Christians. A Christian is something. Y'all need that. A Christian is something that the Word of God builds. And you got today, you don't have no Christian. You got a lot of church people. You got some saved people. But very few people live knowing anything about living a Christian life. Jeremiah said here, he said, I found the word. When I found them, I took them in. And he said, they brought joy. And they brought rejoicing to my heart. And he said, because by that, I'm called by your name. And Christian means, it means Christ-like. And of course, in the context of that thing in Acts, the reason they call him Christian, they say, well, you act like little Christes, you know, you think you're Christ, you know. Well, you know, I think it's just natural that children display attributes of their mother and daddy, you know, it's just kind of a known thing, you know. I mean, boys sometimes fall after the daddy and girls after the mother. Well, if God's your Savior, you ought to kind of fall after the things of God, don't you think? I mean, I'll give you a good one now. If you're a good godly Christian, good Bible believer, how do you find things so interesting on television? Amen, preacher! You don't get no amens on that, you have to have your own. No, you can't preach against television this day and time, because that's the accepted thing, see? But, of course, I do. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. We need some Christians. And the Word of God will build Christians. It'll build them. Christians aren't born. They're trained. You're saved by trusting Christ. The Word of God makes Christians out of you. And that's what we need. You know, let me show you something. Let's go right along with that. Hang on, I'm going to get through in a minute. I was preaching in church one time and some girl came there and she said, he kept saying he's going to get through a minute. He never did. I thought he never would quit preaching. So, 1 Corinthians 13. Now, this will get you up to date. I'm going to finish up here in a minute. Really, I am. But 1 Corinthians 13, look at here. Now, you know, we're living in a time where we got a kind of a new gospel going around. And they call this, I was noticing the other day over here at the church, they got a big sign up and says, good news, America. God loves you. Well, that's pretty good. God does, you know, I mean, I'm glad God does have a love for the world. But let me say something to you this morning, folks. Maybe you don't understand that, but let me tell you something. The love don't begin in the church. The love begins at Calvary. Amen. The Bible said God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. If you ain't saved, don't think you're going to cash in on God's love. I mean, don't think it just because you reject the message of God, you reject the salvation of God, you reject the voice of God, that you're going to cash in on the love of God and miss. You ain't going to do it. You're going to get saved or you're going to hell. Now, the Bible said in 1 Corinthians 13, this is called the love chapter. And I'm not against that. I'm glad God does love. No doubt about that. But look at verse 6, 1 Corinthians 13, 6. The Bible says, it's talking about charity. Let me get it verse 4. Charity means love. Charity means a handout. Love is giving. That's what it means. Love is giving. You can't love and not give. I mean, if God said, I love you, world, I don't want you to go to hell, but I can't help you none, that wouldn't have been much display of love. But God displayed love when Jesus came in the world to pay for the sins of the world. God proved His love by Jesus Christ. And God offers that to any sinner this morning. God offers His love to any sinner that'll come to Jesus and get saved. But in chapter 13, the Bible said, verse 4, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity. I mean, if you got charity, if you got love, I mentioned this some this morning. Charity envieth not. Boy, that's a good one, isn't it? Especially among Baptists. Charity vaineth not itself, is not puffed up. Listen to verse 5. Doth not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. That's what the Bible said. Now, if you got love, you know, if you got it, that's what it says. And listen to this, verse 6, rejoiceth not in iniquity. If you're saved and love God and love this Bible, sin is you're not going to rejoice in sin. That's what it says. But rejoice, what? In the truth. If you love God, you know what you're going to rejoice more than anything else? The truth. What are we talking about? John 17, 17, Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Amen? Now, you know, according to that, a lot of people ain't got the right thing. I mean, I don't find a lot of people rejoicing in truth. Not too many. But that's what the Bible says. I mean, it said, if you love God, you rejoice in what God said. Not in sin, you know. People talk about, they talk about love while they tear up their Bible, read these lying Bibles. Tell you something. You know what? Jeremiah said, I found your words and I took them. He said, I was nourished on your word. And Jesus said, man should not live by bread alone. Now, you know, you can tell by most American people that we pretty well take care of ourselves. Look at me, I'm overweight. Some of you are too. We pretty well take care of ourselves. You know, we take it in pretty good. Amen. But you know what I was thinking the other day? You know, if every person, if they fed their soul, I mean, let me get it right. If you fed your body like you do your soul, we'd be walking around looking like toothpicks. Amen. I mean, you can tell that most people take care of themselves pretty well, but when it comes to the Word of God and feeding their soul with the things of God, they're pretty skinny. Amen? You don't need no diet plan for that. That's what Jeremiah's talking about. Man, come over here tonight, we had some fried shrimp. He eat, and he said, boy, I enjoyed them things. So he said, I was already hungry. He said, I was already about to starve, and I just walked in them fried shrimp. He said, I just enjoyed them things tremendously. Well, I'm glad he did. But folks, listen, wouldn't it be nice if everybody saved just got so hungry for the Word of God they're about to starve to death? Huh? Wouldn't it be something this morning if 50 million Americans that are saved got up and said, I am about to starve for the Word of God, and I'm going to find it. I'm going to find it. I don't care what I got to do. Amen? But they'll get up and They'll go down to some of these old dead, dry, morphic churches, and they'll sit there with this old blah, blah, you know, and the preacher gets up, and he don't have nothing to say. God ain't showed him nothing. He don't give them nothing they can live on. They walk out that door, they ain't heard nothing from God, they ain't been fed nothing from God, and they wonder why they don't grow, and we wonder why there's no militant Christians, why there's no strong Christians, why there's no aggressive Christians, why nobody knows how to stand up against nothing, to stand for something. I mean, you know, just the preacher, their own rank. A lot of them know they ain't got the guts to stand up and say, I believe this is the only Bible. They say, well, you know, I've always used the King James, and I think it's very good. But what he's trying to say is, he thinks a lot of, he wants to stay in the ranks. He don't want to upset nobody, you know what I mean? A young man today gets in a church, and God deals in line, and he said, Lord, God's called me to preach. I'm going out and preach the word of God. He's on fire for God. Boy, he's got a zeal to go out here and tell sinners about God. He goes off to Bible college, and they say, now, son, you ain't got the Bible there. He says, I ain't. They said, no, a better one's over here. And he comes out there. He ain't got no faith in the word of God because he don't even know what it is. He's killed. Then he comes back in the church. He gets in one and says, well, you know, I learned a lot when I was in school, the Greek and Hebrew. And, you know, that don't say that. And that means that. And that don't. You can't go by that Bible. And what do folks get? They don't get nothing from God. They don't want the voice of God. Folks, I'm telling you something. We need some people. We need some men and women in America that don't care what...